Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Saints of God, lift your hands up and worship the Lord with these sisters tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you could just, it's up to you, but you could actually just worship the Lord and be fed and ministered to. You could find things in your heart, you know, animosities and angers and things, you know, they just start melting away. And you start getting your eyes open to seeing how foolish those things really are. Little things that trouble us in life, little things that we're all riled up about. People could just get an old demon that's just perplexing their mind and speaking and speaking and speaking, and they go off and it just harasses them. You know, it just harasses them, and all of a sudden they're all out of whack themselves. And then everybody around them's out of whack. And all they got to do is just change the state of mind and the way they're thinking. Start honoring God and praising Him and thanking Him. Brethren, I tell you, we should be a thankful people. We shouldn't have to be exhorted to be thankful. We should just be thankful, amen. You know, that, you know, I could be the guy laying on Skid Row tonight. I could be the guy in the box being eaten by worms. You know, the old fleshly thing with no hope of resurrection. And my soul in hell. You understand what I mean? And in torment. You know, I could be that guy, John. You know, we look at people in all different kinds of circumstances and situations. While we're standing, let's pray together. Most gracious Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your word. We praise you tonight, Lord God. Father, our heart is broken, Lord God, for your people, Lord, that are fallen into the snare of the devourer, Lord God. Father, help us to use wisdom and teach us to fight against those principalities and powers. those princes of darkness, Lord God. Teach us, Lord God, to bring down those thrones of darkness, Lord God, that have set themselves up around us. Father, teach us to be more than conquerors, Father. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I read the scripture tonight, I know I try to make expression on a continuous basis as a minister. And sometimes the lack of my understanding or my abilities to be an orator or whatever. But in many times, I got these things in my spirit that I know are from God, and I got to try to bring an expression. I watched my pastor, Brother Pike, do that over and over. And he sounds so repetitive, because there's only a certain things that men could say in a comprehension of an intellectual language that we're speaking English. We're limited to what we can say, and we're trusting, though, at the same time that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power will enlighten what he's really trying to say. And I could remember Brother Pike, you know, some repetitive things that would come forth and come forth and come forth. And I thought I understood it, and I really did. But I understood it in a different dimension than what he was expressing it in. So we're committed to the expression into an intellectual understanding and concept, but when it's birthed in the Spirit, it all of a sudden leaves that, and it brings a different strength and a different life. You see, you could see it through your eyes and perceive it through your eyes of understanding, but when you perceive it through the eyes and understanding of the mind of Christ, then it's like speaking totally differently. You could understand a parable and the strength of the parable. But then when the parable is revealed by the Spirit, then you understand that it was just the expression or formulation to bring you to another completely different revelation. Like I said, sure, the Lord was concerned for the people to know how to plant, to have good soil, but he was going so far beyond that. And that's a simplistic understanding. And you say, well, I understood that from day one. But there's so many revelational things that are hid from the wise and prudent that they'll never see or perceive. You know, I pray and I question myself. Brother Rob, are you too quick to break fellowship? Are you too quick to bring the rod of correction? Are you too quick to separate? Are you too quick to bring the sword? You know, and I could think of the numerous people that have come through here. And I guess where one of the decisions I've got to make is that, you know, I was talking with a minister, and I talked to many of them and all the time, but I was telling him, I said, you know, the thing is, people would think that, you know, that I would retaliate through some fleshly retaliation if I'm being smitten. He said, I wouldn't be fit to be a preacher if that's the case. Honestly, I wouldn't. But the thing is I got to also at the same breath know that when the pastor is smitten, that sheep scatter. So am I bringing forth a judgment? Not really even a retaliation. But am I bringing forth a judgment to cease the problem that sheep won't scatter? So, you know, and that's where sometimes we don't see or perceive or understand really what is happening. And sometimes people can number something as harshness, but if you look a little bit farther, understand a little bit differently, then it's really love. You know, an animal activist, if I killed a rattlesnake curled up here on the floor, they could think, you know, man, that was just cruelty to animals. And I'm thinking, no, it's protecting little babies and children. And there's things like this in the media today and in politics today. You know, it's like, you know, people are questioning us as Americans on one side. You know, this, and I'm not going to get into politics here by no means. And I thought this was through the Trump campaign, I guess. And I'm not speaking in any favoritism of any political powers right now, by no means. But I'm saying this, that the Pope spoke against him and said that, you know, he said it's not very Christian like to want to build borders between Mexico and United States. You know, and then they took and showed pictures of the Vatican had big walls all the way around and said, hey, you know, practice what you preach. Why don't you take your walls down? In other words, you know, I thought that was clever, you know. I'm not campaigning for Trump by no means, amen. I wish that some of the men or maybe as bold to kick against the standards of the ruts that have been dug in Washington. And that's one thing about him is he's getting outside the ruts. He said, I'm not like these guys. I'm not taking power. And you're going to think that I'm pushing for this guy, but no, but I'm telling you something I do like about him. He said, I'm not taking finances from the insurance companies and making promises that I'm going to push some legislation for they could fatten their belts a little bit more, or from the oil companies or this. And he said, hey, I'm paying my own way. I do like that, but that don't make him presidential. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing is this is what people try to do, and I've expressed it from the sacred desk here over and over. I said, people will, you know, well, Brother Rob, man, he ain't right. Well, does that make you right? No matter how wrong I am, and I've said this from the sacred desk, I said, you know, if you get a report one day that Brother Rob's in hell, does that justify your sin? Does it make it where God's not, you know, you're going to, well, you know, because your preacher went to hell, I'm not going to make you? You think, man, it isn't quite that way. If I go to hell because of false doctrine and you go to hell because of fire, we'll be in hell together and you'll probably be chewing on me for all of eternity. You know, see, we got to be real and understand what we preach. Amen. And I thank God for understanding and revelation. But even with that thought said, I think of the ministers and the people that I deal with that have been through here that I've really, truly reached out to, brethren. I mean that with all sincerity. I've reached out, and I have been really reproved here as of late for being considered a compromiser for allowing Trinitarians behind my sacred desk. You know, and I talked to the brethren here. You knew where I was at. And the thing is, you know, I am not going to turn this church over to some Trinitarian and just let him have his way. But I sat here and made the judgments and the analyzations and things and keep the things clear. Am I now making excuses for the thing is? Well, I got to be careful because if eating meat offends you, I don't need to eat it. And a friend, you know, or I could say an acquaintance or whatever, you know, and they bring in people from different doctors and things, and it can be rather dangerous. You know, you hear me speak against social media. Well, the only difference about social media and the sacred desk is I can have a little more control here. And if I bring these people in from this, from the outside, and they've got another mind. I bring them in, and their wives don't believe in holiness or dress pertaining unto holiness. You know, I seen a supposed to be an apostolic preacher today, and he's got his wife with bobbed off hair. I mean bobbed off. I mean like a man. You know, that is nowhere near the apostolic doctrines or the holiness people's doctrine, brethren. And then I see the preacher, you know, in short pants. You know, and I don't care if you're at the park. I don't care if you're at the beach. I don't care where you're at. Holiness people don't dress like that. It causes people to stumble. This is a pastor. He could do that. It's like Brother George made the same. He said, there's nothing wrong with short sleeve shirts. He said, if I wore short sleeve shirts, then I'm going to be in my church with muscle shirts on. So he says, you know what? I nip it at the bud. I agree with that doctrine. I said this the other day about the brother I've been speaking with, and I mean, he offered reproof to me, or I never would have been in the doctrine about hair length. Now, brother, you know me. I do not like women with bobbed off hair. You know, you're not going to see them on my platform. You're not going to see them singing. You're not going to see them partakers with the ministry here. You know, but then yet, that sometimes they'll press you. They want to just barely have it on the shoulders and see, you know, this and that. I don't like to be pressed in the spirit. But again, I've said this numerous times from the sacred desk, and there's a purpose in me saying this again. I told the brother, I said, you'd be in error if you changed your doctrine because of the uncertain sounds of there's so much compromise and so many changes and so many things taking place. There's so many uncertain sounds going forth in the Pentecostals right now, in the holiness people right now. There's so many uncertain sounds going forth that my heart truly goes out to people. You know, we use an expression here, say, let's don't remove the landmarks. Well, what are they? Well, if you never saw the landmark, then you wouldn't know what the landmark is it? You know, in aviation, probably a landmark might mean more to me than it does to you. You know, I haven't done a lot of overseas flying. I've been commercially overseas. I have flown, you know, down all through the islands, all the way down to South America, right on the northern side of South America as a pilot. But to be doing a lot of intercontinent flying and stuff, no, I haven't. But I do know a bit about it. I had some opportunities that were laying at my feet if I wanted to deliver airplanes over to Hawaii. You know, there's quite a bit of water between here and Hawaii. There's no landmarks. You know what I'm saying? But they do have some barges that are anchored down and stuff with some aids and things on it for electric, but there's hours of flying out there with no radial navigation. Now we got GPS, it's different. But I'm talking about when I was an aviator, didn't have GPS. And the VOR ranges only go so far, about 150 miles out on the water. So, you know, when you're going, you know, 1,700 miles or whatever it is, I can stand corrected. No, it's more than that, I think. But regardless, no navigation, no landmarks. But when you're flying over the land, there's all kinds of landmarks. You got maps that are pointing at all the landmarks to you and give you a map. It might be a mountain peak, could be a landmark. And you know, dead reckoning, they call. You could see it and you could confirm where you're at in flying without the aid of radial navigation. But the Bible said don't remove the old landmark. And we're dealing with a generation today that the landmarks have been gone for so long that they don't even think anything about them. And then when the people that are still conforming to landmarks, they look at you as some kind of, that you're odd or freak or religious or self-righteous. I brought out in the message the other day, and when we were reading in the scriptures, we talked about meat. I use that, the many scriptures or the scriptures in that on a continuous basis. But this said anything that brings an offense. When it's offending people. See, if I'm going to win souls, if I'm offending them, I can't. And I know we've got to keep some things. I offend devils all the time, and I don't even wink about that. I'm not troubled about that, not one little bit. I don't care if I offend a devil. I don't care if they curse and get mad and waller in their vomit. I don't care, man. I'll offend a devil all the time. But I don't want to offend a brother or a little one. And so this is what we have to learn to watch and to see how we do it. Because things that people do, even right here in this church, that I'm evidently failing, okay? I am evidently failing to get this in your spirit. Or you got a problem and you're rejecting and lightly esteeming the Word of God or even mocking the Word of God. You know, God's not mocked. You know, and we can't lightly esteem the Word of God. Amen? And sometimes, brethren, the traditions of the elders may not be black and white written in the Word, but we can't defy that because it shows the action of rebellion. You realize that? Everybody wants everything ABC 1, 2, 3, but still when there's traditions that have been set before us, we need to walk in those things for the peace and the tranquility and the submission and showing the respect to the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Amen? So many times people want to see the ABC 1, 2, 3. I'm going to start in 1 Samuel, the second chapter. I'm going to read the first part and we're going to skip on down. May comment on some, but I want to skip on down. But I appreciate this praise that I find right here in the very beginning of this chapter. It encourages and enlightens and fills me, if you could get into the spirit of this sister, rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Don't you like to rejoice in the Lord? Amen. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, and there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Boy, sometimes we don't live like it, do we? Our actions are actually weighed out, Brother Bo. Come on, man. I mean, I actually might stand accountable before God for my deeds. I might stand before the Lord and give an account for every idle word. But see, we don't think that way, do we? We just go along through life and let life set the course. You know, go with the flow, so to speak. Well, it's real easy to walk with the crowd. But you know, when you walk and follow the Lord, there's a lot of resistance around you. You realize that? I mean, it's easy to just go along with humanity. It's real easy to get in a religious crowd nowadays. We got a big portion of America call themselves Christians. And they, you know, hey, praise God. Oh, man, I love us. We all need to get together. This is the love of God. And it's easy to walk with them people. Man, you can walk right along with them. I've got ministers that have been here in this work and in this church and different kind of things and such. But what I'm saying is they get in that flow so easy. And then they get together and we find that devils will strengthen demons. You'll find somebody to be in agreement with you. People love to have somebody, you know, well, I don't like Johnny. And then you go over and say, you know, Brother Randy, I want to ask you a question. And then all of a sudden you're priming Aunt or Brother Randy up. Yeah, I don't like him neither. Now you've got a unity, a strength, a strong cord. And we don't like you, man. We love you. No, and no, we like you too. But you understand what I'm saying? People could get, and they look and they fish and they look for these things. One could sit 1,000, two could sit 10,000. What can two devils do? Man, they could bind and bound a man down. You know, and it's going to take the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost to break that yoke off of them. You know, there's, you know, when the Bible talks about them that are chained and bound, you know, there's people that are so bound up. And you go and you try to help them and love them. You know, when the Bible said blind and blind leaders, they don't see. And you could sit there and be, you know, be that landmark waving in front, hey, come this way. And they don't see. And they're blind, they're dead, they don't hear. And you cry out and you scream. Sometimes you could take them by the hand, but if you could lay hands on them and bring sight to them. See, those are the miracles the Pentecostal church don't see no more. They're always looking for the natural eyes opening, the natural hearings. But you know, brethren, it's so much more important to get a man to see in the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation and in the spirit. And then he could look and see things. You don't look at your little baby or your little boy or your little girl or your grandchildren as a precious little child. You look there as a physician looking and say, is there a sickness on this child? Is there a disease on this child that I need to take care of? That sounds kind of maybe harsh. Yes, we could love them, brethren. We could take and cuddle our little babies and love them. But there's something greater than that. We got to make sure that the enemy isn't trying to impart something into them. The Bible said, raise them up in the way that they should go. You know, let this rod of correction drive the spirit of foolishness far from the child. Oh, but don't you tell me my baby's got a devil. Man, it was born with death. It was shapen in death and iniquity, my friend. And you got to be smart enough to realize that. The preacher tries to help and you get mad. You don't know how many times I've had parents so fighting mad with me for trying to offer some correction to children. And you know, and the thing is, it's like, wow, you know, you got to be very cautious, very careful. It's not that you're afraid of the fact is that they're going to be upset with you. I mean, if a minister's worried about getting somebody upset, he better step down. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just saying he needs to step down because I love people enough to upset them and let them get mad at me. I would rather them be upset with me and go away and realize what manner of man they are and get rid of that demon or that devil. Amen. That's love. You know, I'll tell you what, a physician could cut into you, cut that old veil of flesh. He's got you under anesthesia. You're talking loopy and crazy, man. Like, yeah, this is great. But let me tell you, when the medication wears off, you probably ain't talking real nice about that guy. And sorry, rascal, I know he stitches up too tight. It hurts. You know, but you know, after it's all said and done, man, you'll go up and shake his hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you for what you did for me. Amen. But yes, it hurts sometimes. Amen. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. And listen to this. Sometimes we come before God, we're, man, you got the man here, Lord. Come on, man, praise God, I'm here. Boy, it's about time, man, I'm here now. Man, you're going to be humbled, son. When you think you're the one and you think you got the message and you think, and man, you need to get humbled. You stand before the Lord in weakness, he'll bring strength to the people. Amen? And you know, and I know we could get this sense, false sense of humility. I ain't worth the power to blast me into hell, you know. And that's, shut up. Come on, that ain't working. You know, a false sense of humility. Well, I'm the least of you, brethren. It's like the brother I used the other day come in here, man, I'm dumber than a box of rocks. I wished he'd believe that. Because he's just so puffed up in his own little self, in love with himself, and he just thinks he's God's man in the earth. God will never anoint that. He'll never anoint that. He'll just run in his own fleshly anointing. There's a fleshly illumination. You know, when you think of light, there's a black light. You know, some of you remember the black lights, but there's a real light. Amen. Brethren, it pierces. That light, x-ray light, goes right through the flesh and the soul of man, and it'll go right on in there. Amen. Praise God. The bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They which were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and the Lord maketh rich. He bringeth low, he lifteth up. You need to find the mind of the Lord. Sometimes things that you want to blame on the devil, it's the Lord. I'm telling you the truth, brethren. People say, oh man, the devil. I say, man, the devil ain't even been around you. You've been so messed up with the, you know, and you ain't even no threat to the devil. You know, I made this statement years ago when they were pursuing after bin Laden. Bin Laden wasn't over there in whatever country he was in, you know, Syria, Iraq, or wherever he's at over there, wherever he's hiding at, Afghanistan. He wasn't over there talking to his brethren about Rob Coons. Well, you know, we got to watch that, you know, Rob Coons. You know what? I wasn't no threat to him. I'm over here in this country, no threat. But let me tell you something. If I was pursuing his border, and I was sending airplanes in with them shorties dropping bombs all over. Man, I would have been a threat to him and he would have been talking about me. But some people, man, they ain't no threat to the devil. They ain't pressing or kicking against his kingdom. They ain't knocking the gates of hell down. They're not thrusting people out of hell. The devil ain't even messing with them. They're already a servant of his. But where he's fighting at, he comes over the one that's bringing the gospel, preaching the word. You know, and they say, oh, the devil's this, the devil. Man, you're just walking in your own fleshly things, and these are the consequences of fleshly living. Consequence of sin. A friend calls me up and says, hey, brother, my wife's having an affair with this pastor. And he said, I'm going to put her away. And I said, okay. And I said, God's going to put you away. I said, she's just doing what you've been doing. I said, you're the unfaithful one. You're the one that's been out drinking, doping, smoking, partying, and running around like that, and you call yourself a child of God or the bride of Christ. I said, you would have made Jesus a whoremonger because he would have been in an affair. You see, your wretched lifestyle insults my Lord because you say that he's a whoremonger. And I said, this is what you've done unto God, and he's letting you taste it, my friend. He's letting you taste of your foolishness. And I said, maybe you ought to reconcile your wife and forgive her and get your house in order and get off the dope and the drugs. He didn't take heed to it. Yeah, the family was busted up. You know, sad. Oh, but Brother Pike prophesied over me and said, I was a son of God. Let me tell you, Brother Pike spoke the living word to him to make him believe that he was, for he could get a hold of that. But if the man don't get a hold of it, he'll die in unbelief. Is this word God breathed? Is this word true? It said, brother, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And if you die, my friend, if you die because of some hideous disease, does it make the word of God a lie? Absolutely not. Amen. We got to learn to get a revelation on some things sometimes. Oh, are you saying that we can go prophesying, speaking the word? Brother, in the prophetical utterance of God's word shall come to pass. And they already have. I've been saved. I've been born again. I've been filled with the Spirit by the word of God. Amen. And we got to speak that and believe it. Amen. The Lord maketh poor, maketh rich, bringeth low, lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. Praise God. To set them among the princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. He's going to take some beggar out of the dunghill and bring him to the throne. Amen. You're looking at one. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes, you know, people look at you because you make money or because you've got some kind of a prestigious, so to speak, position or education or understanding. And people think that you're okay and you're nothing but the lost. The beggarly cast down dung. And people esteem it and look at it. Look at Hollywood. If there was ever a slop hole dunghill, it's Hollywood. Come on now. Hollywood. You know, if there's another slop hill dunghill and preachers justify to watch it on TV and go there, I wish they could put the stench of the Super Bowl over the TVs. You know, wouldn't that be neat if we could have something that would be like that, you know, that they could give you the stench of it, blow it through your house, man, what God smells? I ain't going in that house. Woo, son. But it's a stench in the nostrils of God. Verse 8 again. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and hath set the world upon them. That's awesome, saints. You know, God's field that he's pulling the strength and the pillars out of ain't what you'd think it is. He's not over at the, you know, over at the Assembly of God's seminary school or the Apostolics seminary school or colleges. Oh, here, we're going to pick one out of here. He's going to get some sorry sucker like you, Bo, or me. Amen. Yeah, I love you, brother. It's that kind of nice to know we're sorry suckers. Now we got only one way to go, and that's up, right? Amen. Praise God. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. Praise God. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Let me go on down here a minute. The next portion of this writings here in Samuel, we know about Eli's sons. We know that they went and they were going to force them to take and be partakers of the things at the temple of God where they can get the meat and things. And we do also know from other chapters and readings that they were having their way with women that would come to the house of God in the temple. You know, to the ministry today, you know, when people are merchandising God's people. This is what this is talking about, merchandising the people of God. It goes on down further in this chapter, and it said it caused the people to transgress. You see, the sins of the ministry, the sins of the family of the ministry, it caused the people to transgress against God. It caused them problems. God was ill. God was ill. We know the story. We know what happened to Eli, fell over backwards. We know his sons got killed in battle. God brings judgment, brethren. He brings judgment. He is a God of judgment, and he deals with these things. And I'm sure these people, while they were in the presence of the temple and in the presence of the provisions of God, and they were partaking of the things of God, and boy, they were rejoicing. I could see it. But then one day judgment came. Judgment. And death. And it wasn't just on him. Let's read some scripture here just for a moment. Let me come on down here a minute. Verse 27, and it says, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Been reminded. Brethren, we're without excuse. Speaking about Landmark, do you know how many things have been laid before you and I over the years by the grace and the mercy of God? Let's go on here. It says, and did I choose him out of the tribes of Israel to be a priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? God's justifying his wrath and judgment, saying, man, I've done everything. I was merciful. I helped. I shared. I gave provision. I've done everything. And you still. We got to apply this, brethren, in our lives. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. You mean he changed his mind? Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I don't want to be lightly esteemed of the Lord. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house. You know, we talk about Jesus saving us from sins and iniquities. And I know there's doctrine that talks about the iniquities going down several generations. The only thing that will stop that is by the blood of Jesus and receiving that by faith. If we can't walk in New Testament doctrine by faith in God, then these things are going to curse all the way through our households, and we're going to see the iniquities pass from child to child to grandchildren or whatever. Whatever the Lord will allow you to see, you're going to see the same old perplexities and failures and the same stench, and it's going to go right down through those little babies that are so beautiful and that you love with the smiles turn into whores and sluts and perverts. Now, I know you don't want to even think of that. But you see, we got to look beyond the little beautiful baby. We got to look beyond the little beautiful children and say, wait a minute, I got to take advantage of this and plant life and impart life and impart faith of God. I've got to impart into this child virtue. I got to impart into this child righteousness. I got to impart into this boy, you know, submission. I got to impart into this boy for listening and leading and driving. And I got to lead him by example. But we miss the mark. We miss the opportunities. Most of the time, it's sad to say that we're done raising children about the time we get some understanding and revelation. And then we're trying to fix and pick up the pieces. You know, praise God for His mercy. Praise God for His grace. But brethren, you know, the thing is some of us when we were young men didn't have preachers that were rebuking and reproving and pouring their hearts out. I got caught up into the religious ways even when I gave my life. I had a true, genuine, born-again experience. I really did. I mean, I love the Lord, you know, but I wasn't sitting under men of God that were teaching and training and reproving and rebuking. And without the proper doctrines and the strength and revelations and understanding, yeah, I stumbled around. No, I never went back to alcoholism. I never went back to smoking, snorting, lying, and cheating, not robbing people, not doing those things. I wasn't doing most of those things before I got saved, robbing people anyway. You know, I had somewhat of a loyalty. But still, brethren, I didn't have men of God to impart these things. Yeah, we would learn things, and yes, I was being preached to come out of the drugs and the alcohol and the sin and sexual immoralities, yes. But brethren, go so far deeper than those things. Those things are just a manifestation of another real problem, and it's the mind. And you got to be in a work that's teaching you to exercise your mind, exercise the way you think. And I'm telling you, and we allow our minds to go so terribly wild. Come on, all of us do, brethren. And we sit around thinking, man, this brother ain't right, and this one ain't that right, and we bicker and we complain. If you was in Old Testament, the earth would open up and swallow you up. We got to love our brothers. And why is it so difficult to get a brotherhood to really love one another? Instead, but we've been so trained through competitiveness that, you know, that everything's a corporate ladder and we're going to step on your head to get to the next rung. You know, you make it easier when you fall down. Now I can get one more rung higher because I'm going to stand on you. Sharks running for blood. You know, he said, God, Brother Rob, you're tough on us. But, brother, this is something that lays within our hearts and our spirit. And we got to recognize it and got to get it out. So many people will rejoice in the calamity of others. Well, this sorry rascal couldn't afford to pay his house. I'm going to grab it up off the market. You know, Brother Pike taught us, brethren, some of those things are cursed because the bank wasn't fair. They yanked it away from maybe somebody who's having a little problem instead of showing some mercy and working with it. Well, let us take this 2 months and put it over on the backside of the note. You know, let us help you out and get back on your feet. But when it's an habitual thing, I can tell the banker, yeah, pull it. I would shake his hand, say, yank it away from that guy's reproaching the kingdom of God. So, you know, we got to listen to the message. You've got to hear it. But I'm talking about there's been times. You know, man, I'm going to get a good buy on this car, man. I know it's up on auction. That car got a curse on it. Brother Pike told one of the brothers, he said, you need to sell that truck. It's got a curse on it. He said, I don't believe in that. Well, then you got a curse on you, unbelief. Amen. You say, I just don't think natural things could be cursed. Well, I think you're totally wrong there. You know, they spent a lot of time dedicating temples and houses and praying and blessings. You know, I believe in blessing things. Amen. I mean, I believe in praying. You know, if it's simply just thanking God for provisions, God for nice homes, God for nice automobiles and things. Say, Lord, let this thing be glory to you. Let it magnify your name. Because there's people who got nice trucks and new cars and new homes that are heathens and lost. And you got to learn to differentiate the blessings of God and the curse of the devil, the curse of this world. I brought those things out to you. There's a scripture that says the wealth of these worldly people will be the thing to testify against them on the day of judgment. They made it their God. Amen. Let's go on down a minute. Verse 31 again says, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Sound like a curse to me, brethren. And thou shalt see the enemy in mine habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve the heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. Now you got to remember that right after what we're reading here, when the children of Israel went to battle, the Philistines overpowered them and they ran, and Eli's sons were killed. Eli fell over dead. Yes, God raises up another. Praise God for that. We could talk about the new administration. We could talk about the new priest. We could talk about the new move of God. But which one are we in? Well, I'll just transition over, will you? He says he's going to cut it off. Brother, he's going to cut off the arm of my father's. You know, and sometimes, brethren, we have got to say, wait a minute. We got to recognize the curse. We got to recognize the wrath. We got to recognize the judgment. We got to recognize the desolation. And we got to say, wait a minute. I'm going to be walking with the Lord. I'm going to be following after the Spirit of God. And brethren, let me tell you something. And when we come over into New Testament doctrine, we can have one that's sitting on the bench that's so entangled in the curse, and another one sitting next to them so filled up with the blessing. You see, and so we start seeing. And then if we really want to get right down to it, even take it a little tighter than that, we could talk about the inner and the outer man and start realizing one has to do with desolation, one has to do with the judgment, one has to do with corruption, and we've got to kill him and mortify him and get him out of the way and bring forth the blessed life of the quickening spirit and let it take over this body and rule and reign in it. So we've got to start looking, but we go over here to the patterns of the Old Testament and we see these things, and we could look at it as a nation, and I could see what's happening to America. Falls perfectly in line. And we could talk about the destruction of America. It would be so easy for me to get on board and have a political mindset, an American mindset. I could have all this stuff, and I could be so thinking I'm godly and I'm a Christian and so wrapped up in what America's doing that I miss God. America's under the curse right now. You say, oh, blessed America. No, America's being cursed right now. And you see, people find fault with me when I stand before you and I say, man, look, I'm a son of God. I'm from the kingdom of God. You know, and you're caught up in the political powers. Look at the things that go along with the political powers. Look at the things that go along with it. The people that are pushing political powers are pushing Super Bowl games. And they're talking about ball games. And then you look at their wives, they got no virtue and strength in them. They're not virtuous women. Brethren, see, we've been around too many religious people and we look and say, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with this. Then your wife's going to be a bob top. You say, what's wrong with that, Brother Rob? Well, it just happens to just be a manifestation. She's got no glory. That she's taken the glory of God and done away with it. And you say, ah, you're just too far with that. Well, how far do you want me to go when it has to do with your soul? Has to do with your wife losing out. Has to do with your wife being cast out. Come on now. You know, when people start lightly esteeming holiness, he is a God of holiness. Without holiness, you're not going to even see him. But we start lightly saying, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? And it's just a door we're opening up. And people start saying, well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with this. And then it's just a door. And then pretty soon they're totally consumed. Often false doctrine and in error. This brother shared with me of two apostolic or UPC or oneness, however you want to express it, preachers went back preaching Trinity. What do you think God's going to do to something like that? What would you think? Oh, they could stand, but look at all these years. Look at all these years that I've done. Brethren, there's a falling away terribly bad right now in these churches that should be the ones that's holding the standard in our country. Brother, when you drive by a holiness church and it says holiness over the door, there should be some kind of thought that comes to you what you expect to see there. You know, but today it isn't that way. A holiness church with a pastor that wears short pants. You say, well, Brother Rob, you're just too legalistic, man. Too ritualistic. You need to just, you know, man, you're so bound up, brother, you just need to get a little bit of liberty. Just realize God really loves us just the way we are. Verse 33, it says, then the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. Sad, huh? And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. I'm probably not pronouncing those right. Just bear with me. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. Who wants to do what's according in the Lord's heart and in his mind? Come on, saints of God. There's so many deviations that are being thrown at us continually. So many of them. We've got to stay so in tune with God. And I won't make no apologies for using aviation. We're talking about landmarks. But there's times that you're out flying and the sky is blue. Maybe a few cumulus clouds scattered around. And man, you're flying and you could see 300 miles. You know, beautiful visibility. And everything's just fine. And then there's other times, brother, when you're in what they call instrument flight rules. You're in weather. And you can't see the wingtips. That might be a slight exaggeration, but I mean, when you're in, there's nothing. You see nothing. And you're totally dependent on holding to your instruments and holding the course. And brethren, sometimes there's so much things that are taking place in the turmoils of this world that we just got to hold the course. Not be moved. But we're being pressed and we're being pushed. Some of these preachers that I allow to come here trying to just, you know, love them and fellowship with them and hope that they could be enlightened to a revelation like I did when I was caught in the charismatic movement. I was sick of it. When I was caught in the Pentecostalism and I was tired of their prophecies. I was tired of their shout. I was tired of their dance. I was tired of the enthusiasm. I was tired of the running. I was tired of watching all these things and the preachers running up and down the aisle slobbering all over you. And there wasn't no strength in it. I said, there's more to God than this. I've watched them tackle them on the floor. And I help sometimes. but I was led by the Lord when I had them on the floor. That other sucker was just stinking a heathen. I think I did have God sometimes because they didn't like it when I tackled them. Amen. But brethren, you know, I'm not apologizing for reaching out to these people and trying to help them. I'm not apologizing for that by no means whatsoever. I want to reach out. I want to help. But brother, got to be cautious. Got to be careful. I tell you, before some of these people I invite, I said, just because I invite them here don't mean I'm in agreement with doctrine with them. You know, it doesn't because Brother Rob asked him to preach his church, and this is where the uncertain sounds come in. Well, he's a man of God. He must be a good one. Well, let me call him up and see what he says about this. You know, I'm thinking, why would you do that? I'll tell you what, you don't need to be calling anybody for any kind of counsel when you don't see order in their life. When you see a man that don't have his own home in order and his household in order and seeing everything tossed to and fro and this and that. And when you see a man that ain't got no stones, I'm sorry to talk like a man, that he's under subjection of his wife, my friend. And he makes her so godly and so spiritual that he feels like it's okay because it's really not submitted to his wife. She's spiritual. He made her a minister. Suffer not the woman to sup authority over the man. When your woman makes a decision of what you're going to do, and I've seen so many men that are so bound up like that, but they're the only ones that don't know it. Everybody else can see it. I'm telling you the truth. They get around the guys, they want to talk big and talk bad, and they're nothing but sissies. Let me tell you, some of you should submit to your wives because they're more godly and more spiritual than you, and they might help you lead you into the kingdom. So now, what are you saying, Brother Rob? You're rebuking the guys, telling him he's got no strength, no stones because of his submission or subjection of his wife. Then you're sitting there in the same breath saying some of you should submit to him. So what are you going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? Let me tell you something, Brother Pike. I heard him say this myself. He said that sometimes the Lord will put a woman over the man because of the man's stinking ignorance. That's a rarity. But Brother Pike explained it very clearly of what was taking place there. But let me tell you why I don't talk about those things. Because I was just on the phone with a minister, okay? And he says, well, you know, I believe it's okay for a woman to pastor a church if she's got a Holy Ghost-filled husband. And he, you know, and he's the head of the house. And she submitted to him. And I said, well, that's where we disagree, my friend. I told him straight out. I said, I'm not in agreement with that whatsoever at all. A pastor's an authoritative position. You may not think so because you've been indoctrinated through the charismatics. Oh, yeah, bless God, I've got this advocate with the Father, man, and I, you know, I don't have no need of man. Well, then why did God send him then? You see, line upon line, precept upon precept. Am I trying to justify my position or my calling here? Absolutely not. I understand it. I understand why the word is written like that and why it's spoken like that. But brethren, we're in a very troublesome time right now. These scriptures that we read here today, this was orchestrated. Why did the Lord have us read this tonight? Why are we looking at these kind of things? I brought it down to two people sitting on a pew and I brought it down just to me. And you as an individual, we've got to see, perceive, discern, comprehend, and understand the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord. And we've done been tossed around too much. We've done been partakers of the altars for too long without walking in obedience to it. Yeah, he'll love us and bring us in. He said he's going to bring those ones out of the dunghill and raise them up. But brethren, when we have been brought in and we lightly esteem the things of God and walk in the lasciviousness of fleshly life and the filthiness of fleshly living, man, I'll tell you what, we've got a bad day coming. We got to believe this word. You know, and we say, well, you know, we believe in the New Testament, Brother Rob, and thus us and us. Well, I hope you do. And I teach New Testament doctrine. But I'm going to tell you something. Every bit of this word is God-breathed. And he's the same to every generation. And the thing is you see all the mercy and compassion to America right now. But because of they've taken what he's raised up and what he blessed, and they have taken it and merchandised and done the things that they've done, come on. What do you think's going to happen to this nation? Get out of your American ideology. Get out of your ignorance about how strong this nation is. God gave them a little forerunner, took a couple camel jockeys with a stinking beach towel on their head, and took some airplanes and flew in and killed 3,000 people. They didn't even have enough money for a bomb, maybe. But they took something that was made for everyday transportation and turned it into a missile and a bomb with a pocket knife. So let me tell you what God could do. You say, well, you know, you can't say God done that. I'm telling you that God allowed it to wake this nation up of America. And he might have took all 3,000 of those souls and brought them in the kingdom. If he'd done that, you can't find fault with him. He could have said, I'm going to use these 3,000 for a sacrifice. And I'm going to bring them into glory, man, to wake up the rest of this God-forsaken nation. For they repent of their sins. And when these faggots were down there in New Orleans, and they're saying, you know, this is, you know, don't come to New Orleans and don't come down here because we're having a fag parade. And if you don't want to see sex acts on the streets and in public, then don't come because that's what we're going to be doing. So God visited them. Huh? You want to talk about a whirlwind? He visited them. Praise God. I am so thankful to hear that my God loved the American people enough to bring forth a mighty strong wind and a storm and wipe that cesspool of iniquity off the map down there. Amen. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Amen. Come on. You say, Brother Rob, are you rejoicing in the people that lost their life over there? Absolutely not. I'm rejoicing that my God's still on the throne and we're in a dispensation of grace and mercy. He was so kind enough to say, wait a minute, I'm going to wake you up a little bit. I'm going to wake you up a little bit. Just like down there in Florida when they decided one year to let Disneyland down there have a faggot day. Huh? They were going to have this queer day, okay, where all the queers come down. God didn't like that either. You know, that place was designed for children. And when I was a kid, it was something that your mothers used to say. You could watch Walt Disney. You know, I'm talking in the 60s, okay? You could watch a Disney program. Nowadays, they're so slop full of filth. And these little Disney girls grow up to be the biggest tramps and stuff. And I wouldn't let my children sit in front of the trash. You need to be careful. You know, but see, there was something that was seemed to be numbered with virtue, and I believe the founders went off the scene many, many years back, and now they've taken into big business and big money, and they're pumping filth down the throats of children through animation, through cartoons, through imagination, and they're introducing things. It's been going on for years. Some kind of a mindset of disobedience and rebellion being put in a child through an animated character. So we got to be careful, brethren. I'll tell you, the enemy is lurking and luring, and his claws are long and sharp, and he can get them into your family. Be careful. Use wisdom. Verse 35 right through 36. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. Thank you, Lord God. That shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house. And then shall walk before mine anointed forever. And praise God. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest offices that may eat a piece of bread. This one brother I'm talking with had knew two of these preachers that had churches. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody said that they were a brother, now this is what I'm using as a standard of thought. If somebody was raised up at the place I was at called Little Bethlehem, and they went out to start a church, do you think I would be wrong to have an expectation of what they're going to do and how they're going to operate? I wouldn't expect women preachers behind the sacred desk. I wouldn't expect brethren in short pants. I wouldn't expect brethren walking off the platform like walking out the doors lighting up cigarettes. Come on, I'm just telling you what my expectation would be. And I don't think it's wrong. Those are things that have been taught and said before us for the decency of people. If you're going to allow smoking and smoke, expect your children to smoke, expect your grandchildren to smoke. And it's just a curse. I wanted to be like my daddy. My daddy smoked, so I started smoking when I was a little kid because I wanted to be like my daddy. Little boys want to be like daddy. When little boys see daddies throw tempers and they see daddies have fits and see daddies kick walls and punch holes and do stupid stuff and say, you know, I got devil, your boy's going to have a devil just like you. Huh? Come on. That's what daddy done. When I started buying my own tools, my daddy used to throw his tools like, hey, yeah, too bad. And then he'd throw mine and say, dude, don't throw my tools, man. I'd go fetch them back. He'd get mad and throw tools. That's pretty stupid, ain't it? I thought it was. But those are things that we learn, that we're trained in. Well, this is what we do when things don't work out. You know, it's like you really had a lot of problem there already, but now with your ignorant temper, now you really got a problem. You tore it up even worse and stuff. You see, it's trained sin, my friend. We teach our families to do what we do. We teach them. You got bad eating habits at the table, your son's going to have bad eating habits at the table. You know, you got food slopping out your face and out your mouth, your son's going to have food slopping out his face and out his mouth. I'm just talking to you, brother, and I watch things. We learn by example. I'm just telling you. I know you're saying, well, you're crude, Brother Rob. No, you're crude. I'm just telling you what happens. And then we whip our kids for it. I'd get beat as a kid for smoking. Well, then what kind of example did I have? Dad would get mad at mom and cuss her. Mom would get mad at dad and cuss him. So I get mad at school and cuss the teacher, and then I get beat for it. Come on, what makes sense, brethren? I'm just trying to say, you know, why do we expect people to be different than what we are? We expect people to be different. You know, some I know men that want their wives to be these little perfect wives and these little holiness wife and this and that, and they want to live like dogs. And then they're mad. You see, we got to set the example. We got to take authority, we got to take control, and we got to lead the way. We got to lead the way. We got to get on the street called straight. Preacher might be over there shining a flashlight to you and trying to get there, but you got to stay on it. You got to walk on it. You got to go forth on this thing. And you got to press into it. But this is what I'm saying. This brother was telling me about these two apostolic preachers. They were fighting him and he was rebuking them. He said, brethren, you've left the standards. He said, you got your wife. One of them let his wife bob off her hair. Another one, they're allowing the dresses getting shorter and shorter. And he rebuked them. Well, both of their daughters, okay, of two apostolic preachers in the same area, know each other and friends. Both of their 15-year-old daughters come up expecting at the same time. They were removed. That's what preachers need to have done. When their little daughters get to expecting, the preachers need to be removed. Because they're not running their homes and keeping their house right. So both these apostolic preachers were removed, and they were in a meeting with this guy and fought him. And they sent to their board of directors, whatever, said that he was proselyting the people. So when he got called in before the people, he said, I come here out of courtesy because I'm not part of your group. But I come here out of courtesy. You're telling me I'm proselyting is why you're losing your people? I'm telling you why you're losing your people. Because brother pastor here is backslid. And he's not living right, and he's compromising the doctrines that have been set before him. And the guy got mad at him, and they got upset with him, and fought him. Well, just in a few weeks, not long, the two preachers, both of their 15-year-old daughters at the same time came up expecting, sad to say, by the same man. They've been removed. You know where they're at right now? You know where those two preachers are at right now? They've been removed from office and are both sitting in this brother that they contest when he rebuked them both. They're both sitting in his church. Why? Because they saw strength and they saw what caused them to fall. Now let me read the last verse again. Now you'll know why I've shared the story. It said, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into the priest's office that I may eat a piece of bread. He said, the Bible said to make the enemies come lie down and be at peace with you. I could share stories where men that cursed me and lied against me and things. And they came and found out that sometimes I had their souls in my hand. You say, man, you're just thinking too haughty. No, I'm talking about God's ways, brother. If you think this is what he's doing for the priest of God, what's he doing for the sons of God? Amen. You know, we're greater than all the prophets, the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Come on now. The law and the prophets were unto John and then the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. Brethren, you need to know who you are. And you need to be careful when you're messing around with God's people. And you think that you're something or get arrogant in your arrogancy and stuff. And you think that you're just dealing with a man or something. But you're dealing with God's people. God's elect, God's anointed, God's people, God's chosen, God's priest. You're dealing with that. Are you talking about you, Brother Rom? I just shared a story of outside this camp, didn't I? And we see the things that happen. And when people get arrogant, start compromising and looking for the compromised way, look at the things that fall on it and the things that happen to it. When they compromise and make these comments, look at the condition and the things that happen. I shared tonight with you about the little brother in prison. Why? Maybe he wasn't a Christian, Brother Rom. Well, evidently he wasn't. He's in prison. I've talked to another one the other day, and I said, well, let me talk to you about your faith or your Christianity or what you believe and different things. Oh, yeah, I've been a Christian many years. I said, it couldn't have been too many years. You just got out of prison. Did you get saved? Oh, no, I made a confession to the Lord when I was a kid. Well, it didn't work. That's what I told him. See, people, they got this another theology. Well, I said the sinner's prayer. Same thing that my reprobate preacher did. I repeated after what he said. Well, I know he changed wives. You know, I know he had an affair with the piano player. I know that he was with the church secretary. I know that he was at the ball game. I know all these things, but he said the prayer. I said the prayer too. I'm saved. I'm in prison. You see the dangers of the doctrines out here? The doctrines of the big leaders like the Billy Grahams. Hundreds of people run in. Oh, say this prayer, you're saved. Praise God. And then they put it out on nationwide television. They put it out on, man, we had 457 saved last night. You know, I go to a Baptist church and visit. They got 23 people in it. And you go get the books. They had 1,200 people saved this year in the church. The deacon got saved 47 times. I know we could laugh about it, but that's the way it is. You know, every time the rain would come down on the unjust, man, Sister Heavy Hips would reconfess her stinking sins. And she got saved over and over and over again before we can have something looking good on the books. The Pentecostals ain't no different, brethren. You know, oh yeah, we had this backslid. Boy, he spoke in tongues, man, tonight. I've seen him. Boy, he came in the altars. He cried and spoke in tongues. You know, brother, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. I'm telling you the truth, brethren. There's more to it. You know, what we're looking for is fruit. We're looking for fruit of that repentance. We're looking for some strength. A man gets filled with the Holy Ghost, he's filled with strength. Strength not to go back like the dog to the vomit, but a strength to stand upright. A strength to gird himself up. Repentance means that you're going the opposite way of what put you where you was at. If you repented from being an alcoholic, that means that you're no longer an alcoholic. That's what I don't like about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, you go there, you're, well, I'm an alcoholic for 12 years. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I ain't no recovering alcoholic. I'm a blood-bought, born-again son of God filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and he took the sin away from me, and I've overcome alcoholism. I've overcome tobacco and drugs, amen. I'm not going to confess some kind of weakness, man. I'm going to speak about the power and the strength of God. Amen. I know it says confess your faults and one to another. Yes, okay, praise God. But I confess that I was weak and I was bound and I was a sinner. Now my profession is I am been delivered and I'm set free and I'm going to speak it and I'm going to walk therein. Amen. And if I stumble, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep on going. Amen. And I'm not going to look back. Amen. I'm not opening up some kind of wild idea to just keep stumbling around in ignorance. Amen. You love the Lord? Let's take heed to what the Spirit of the Lord says unto the church. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing a song or two tonight. Thank you for giving me a few minutes tonight. And Brother Laughlin was going to be over tonight and was going to minister tonight. And something came up in his family. I told you I was going to purchase the brother a ticket. It's about almost $1,300 to go to India with Brother Lackey. We'll be doing that to help him out a little bit. Make yourself available to the Lord, amen. And when you do that, he could richen your time and your week and different things, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song.
What a wonder you are.
You know, some people get offended when Brother Rob uses terminology from the sacred desk. I say things like whores, queers, sodomites, homosexuals. But I'm offended when people say to me and they're talking about this perversion and they say gay. I'm offended. Do they care about that? No. I'm offended because they're politically correct. And they've been conformed to the world and the doctrines of the world. And I need to use a little wisdom. I do understand that. But let me tell you, it's sick, disgusting, and it's filth and it's perversion. And when I speak about it, I want it to make your skin crawl. I want it to make you shudder on the inside. When you think of the perversion of a man with a man or a woman with a woman, I want you to think of the perversion of it. So it shouldn't sound pretty. It shouldn't sound gay, brother. It should sound wretched and offensive. It should be an insult to you. I'm telling you, this little brother that was in this church, a 22-year-old boy or 23-year-old boy, and he's out there in some 45 or 46-year-old filthy, perverted pedophile, takes that little boy and marrying him and sodomizing him. The laws of our land should take and assassinate that filthy, pervert predator to take that little boy like that and do that to him. You say, well, Brother Rob, maybe you shouldn't have sent him off. I have no remorse for sending him off because he was mocking the things of God. I want you to go back and read the chapter, what happened when they defiled the house of God and the things that took place. That's what's going to happen when you see him leave here. You're going to see more of it, my friends, that when they leave here, there's going to be sudden and quick and fast destruction. I was telling Paul what the refuge has to do with. There's just a place of protection from sin, protection from wrath, protection from judgment. Mount Gilead. You understand that? It's a refuge. This is a refuge, my friend. And when you've been evil and you've been wrong and you really are due the sentence of death and you really, by the righteousness of God, would rip your head off. You could come to the city of refuge and nothing could touch you there. But when you leave, amen, it's when they go, they'll be turned over to reprobate minds. Amen. And they'll die in their filth and their perversions. Amen. I should share some stories with you. Amen. But I'll spare you. Pure and so kind. The altars are open this evening, saints of God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise the Lord. Amen. As we sing another song, let's just worship the Lord before we close the service.
Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
Brother Terry, that's where you can find the answers that you need. The wisdom to lead you, to direct you, and to guide you. That's where you can find the power and the strength to keep you out of sexual immorality and perversions. The strength to keep and to hold. It comes at an altar of God. If we could ever find ourselves before the altar of the Lord, professing our sin and repenting of our sin and turning away from it, we could find the strength, the power, the authority to walk in the newness of life, in the counsel of God. It's not just an altar experience, it's a birthing place at the altars. It's not magic to come into the altars and just everything's okay, but we receive the power of the Spirit of God to fight against the adversary that pursues us. Amen? You know, we think we get filled with the Holy Ghost and we're stuck over in some R&R place of rest and relaxation and we just hang out there and praise God, and we're lascivious and lighthearted and ignorant. But brethren, that's not what it's about. We get endued and filled with power of God to make decisions on a daily basis, how to walk, where to walk, when to walk, why to walk. Amen. We're in a battleground. We got an adversary before us on a daily basis. And we just go through this life lighthearted. Oh, I know God. You know? And he said, yeah, Peter, I know. Paul, I know. Brother Pike, I know, but who are you? Amen. Come on, saints. But we're in a fight. We got to realize the fight against these principalities. We got to realize these fights that we're in and realize it. You know, I think if most of you were in, all of a sudden that there was our American borders were evaded And all of a sudden, the adversary's moving across the land with tanks, with their flags flying, and their tanks and their military stuff. I think we would start getting diligent to understand them a little bit. Hey, what do these people look like? How are they dressed? What are their weapons? What do they got? What am I going to be up against? And we would be concerned, but brethren, there's something that's pursuing us that has the ability, it's already infiltrated the borders of our land, infiltrated the Congress of our land, infiltrated the presidencies of our land, the nation, the education, the medical. It's infiltrated all of it, and it's bombarding your home, and you give it access and open doors of opportunity. In the homes, through the television, you give it opportunity to infiltrate your camp on social medias. Amen? This is what we do. And we don't realize they're taking the souls of our families and our children, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, and it's killing them and destroying them. We're in a fight, brother. We got to get that in our spirit. We are in a warfare. We are in a battle. Amen? What's up, bro? Brother John. Amen. I like that. Amen. Watch some of you ladies and some of the brethren come around the altars. Amen. I want to pray over the pregnancy. Pray over this baby. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Most gracious Father, as I anoint this mother and father with oil. Father, even as we read about this mother tonight, Lord God, that brings a child to the throne in the temple of God. And Father, as they've delivered this little boy over to the temple tonight, Almighty God, I say raise him up in strength and health, Lord God. Father God, impart the gifts of the father and the gifts of a mother, the virtuous, righteous mother, and a man of valor, a righteous man, Lord God. Let these parents, Lord God, be anointed to raise these children up in the Lord, hallelujah, in the mind of God, in the mind of revelation, the mind of the Spirit, Lord God, that this little child and these children have the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost upon them. Thank you, Lord God, for the health of this boy. Thank you, Lord God, for the strength of this boy. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for this family, Lord God, and the anointing of God that's in their lives and in their hearts, that they can win their families, their households, their communities into the kingdom, Lord God. Let their light so shine, Lord God, as the servants of the living God. I thank you, Lord God, and I praise you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you've heard this prayer, Lord God, and that you're well pleased, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for the virtue and the life and the strength and the anointing of God upon this family. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
But there's something about that name.
Let's worship him, saints.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name.
Some of you brethren, let's lay hands on Brother Manny. Amen. For some old brethren. Dealing with a disorder in his health, his body. God's concerned about those things. Sometimes little things. You know, we can say, I got allergies, or I got this, or I got that, and we can deal with it, live with it, medicate it, or whatever we want, or we can go to the altars. Sometimes we can deal with diverticulitis, some Brother Billy. Hurts, don't it? Or we could say, you know what, I'm going to give it to God. We can go to the throne of God, and we can be determined to give it to God. Say, Lord God, I know that you had me in mind when you took those stripes on your back. And he could take these things away. I've seen people really delivered, healed of even cancer, but they didn't walk with God and it came back upon them. I've seen that over and over, brother. And the thing, we got to walk in the counsel of God and know that the adversary that come in through that broken link, through that that breach in the wall to destroy you. Remember, we girded up the trowel, one hand and a sword in the other. Amen. Brother Terry, the answers come from the throne and from the altars like you were. But there's something been said over since you was in that altar. It's time to get a sword in the hand. A sword in your hand. Amen. In other words, we're gonna walk in the authority and the power of God. We're not going to allow the devil to just keep coming in, slapping us and beating us and knocking us down. We got to get away from the insanity of the repetitiveness of the same fall over and over. The repetitiveness of the same fall. Of doing the same thing, thinking that just God's going to take it away. We're the conquerors, brother. He gave us the conquering power. And you want to pray and just think He's going to take everything away? It don't do that way. He said, you're more than a conqueror. That means you're going to conquer the iniquity, the power, the weakness, the sickness, the disease, whatever it is. You're going to conquer it. And you're going to overcome it. And if it's an infirmity in the flesh, like this brother's dealing with a skin condition, he's going to say, you know what? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I don't receive that in the name of the Lord. I don't receive it in Jesus' name. It's a lying vanity. And you keep doing it, and one day he's going to find it gone. Amen. Father, as I anoint this, my brother of oil, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray, Father, by the authority of the works of Christ Jesus at Calvary, Lord God. Not praying in my faith, Lord God, but I thank you for the measure of faith that you've given me, Lord God. And I know that you've given me the power to remit sin, and to lay hands and anoint the sick, and they shall recover. Father, and I accept that authority, and I speak by that, but by more so the authority of Jesus Christ and faith in Him and His works and His labors. And His labors were imparted into me in Jesus' name. And I speak the virtue and the life of, and command it right now. I command it right now in the name of Jesus Christ to go through this, my brother's body right now. And I speak and say that this sickness or this affliction, I should say, depart and leave him. Father, whatever it is, the doctors say dermatitis, I say that's a lie and vanity. I say it's healthy skin, healthy and well in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Healthy and well. I rebuke the vanity. I rebuke the lie. I rebuke the lying devil in Jesus' name. I don't receive it in Jesus' name. I receive the labors of Christ. I receive the Word of God. I receive the spoken Word of God in Jesus' name. And I say it's a vanity and it's a lie and it's gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Pass me by.
Savior. Remember Sister Celestia at home. Remember, brother.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.